And so today I am going to talk about the power of words. And I wanted to start out with some quotes that people say about getting older. And, you know, I'm not even going to be saying all of the quotes that are out there, but so there's probably many, many more that you guys have heard. And from the time that you're young, I can remember a family member who was in their 30s and already acting like they were in their 50s, just already thinking that they were getting old. And they were just in their 30s, you know, but they just had that feeling that they were getting old. And then the years kept going, and by the time they're in their 40s, you would have thought they were in their 70s. You know, I mean, just the mental thinking of, you know, that their body is just not doing well in this way or that way. So I have some quotes that I thought I would mention today. This is from Sir Norman Wisdom. As you get older, three things happen. The first is your memory goes, and I can't remember the other two. Okay. This one is from High Gardner. You know you're getting old when everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Another one by John Wagner is don't let aging get you down. It's too hard to get back up. And then this is something that I've heard over and over, but I found it specifically on this website. All About Vision website is where this quote comes from. Some call presbyopia short arm syndrome because of how far you have to stretch to see the fine print in your newspaper. Learn why no one over 40 escapes this annoying vision problem. And so your expectations start being set for you by different things and different sayings that people say, and they say it in jest, and it's to be funny. But people believe this. I can remember several people that I know, you know, getting to that age of 40 and expecting to have to wear glasses. And even before they even hit 40, like around, you know, I don't know, 38, 39, they're starting to think, oh, my eyes are getting fuzzy. I think I need to go to the doctor and see, maybe I need glasses. And their mindset had already been determined that because there's this saying out there that says when you get to 40 that you need glasses, they had already started buying into that a lot, many years before they even got to 40. And my point on that is that there's things that are out there, and I don't discount the studies that are being said that are saying that, yes, when you hit 40, a lot of people start needing glasses. They have studied a lot of people, and they have found that that happens. And this could start happening at this age, and that can start happening at that age. And there's all sorts of studies and statistics that say this and that and the other. But as Christians, we don't go by statistics, and we don't go by what doctors have found and what doctors can do and what doctors can't do. Now, we still, if God puts it on our heart, we still go to doctors and we still have them check certain things out and do different things. We're not against doctors, but we're not limited to doctors either. When they start telling you there's nothing we can do, then we don't get into fear over that because we know that God is much bigger than the doctors. And so if the doctors can't do anything, that's okay because our faith is still in God. And God's word says that by Jesus' stripes we're healed, and we're standing on that. And so there's many different things that I'm using specifically because we're talking about healing on Wednesday nights. I'm using these examples of just different things that you hear a lot about how you're getting older or you're doing this or that and to expect certain things. But what I want to get across to us is how important what we say out of our own mouth is. Our own words are very important. And I put on there John 1, 1 and 2. Jesus is called the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Then if we go on to Genesis 1, 1 through 3, we find out that God created the world by speaking it into place, into existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, nothing happened before God said. But when God said, let there be light, there was light. The Bible says that we are created in God's image. And we see that in Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. There are things that God operates in things. One of them is when he speaks something, it comes to pass. We are spirit beings more than we are natural beings. We are in a natural body at this point, but our spirit, when our natural body has passed away, is still alive. So our real true person is on the inside of us. And that is in the form of God. So when we are doing different things, we're not doing things according to the natural. You can look at Ephesians 6:12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So our fight that we're doing is not in the natural, but it's in the spiritual realm. Is where we're doing things. And that takes place with our mouth. How we speak about different things, how we react to different things with our mouth is very, very important because that affects the spiritual realm. Now, we can take medicines, and there's nothing wrong with that. That affects our natural body. We can rest and do different things that help our natural body, and that's important too. You know, your body, you do live in a natural body. You should, eat stuff besides just candy. You should have, fruits and vegetables and meat and all those kind of different things because we do live in a natural body and that takes care of the natural body. But our natural body is also affected by the spiritual realm. And the Bible talks in about how the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in us and it quickens our mortal body. And so there's stuff besides just being rested, getting enough sleep, eating, and there's people that exercise a lot and still die at young ages of just weird stuff, just weird crazy things. And it's a fluke that they got something and then they die. Or they get hit by a car when they're exercising. I've had a friend whose parent, that happened to their mom. They were running in great physical shape, just running, and the mirror of a truck just happened to knock them down and knocked them over, and, they ended up dying. And won't go into all the details of it, but they ended up dying. But they were in great physical condition. So it's not just that we take care of our body naturally, but spiritually, we can also expect for God to help us to quicken our body and things and to speed up recovery when recovery is needed. We can expect us to recover quickly if we do have a cold, if we do have lingering stomach issue from flu or something like that, we can expect that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that that's going to quicken our bodies. And then in Matthew 8:16, I just wanted to give you an example of how Jesus took care of something. He said, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word." He spoke to it, and that cast the spirits out and healed all who were sick. Mark 11:23, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So there is an important thing about what we let come out of our mouths, and especially if we believe it. If you believe what Sir Norman Wisdom said, that as you get older, three things happen. The first, your memory goes, and I can't remember the other two. If you say those kind of things and then you actually believe those kind of things, because that's why you're saying it, it's one thing. Sometimes you can say, thank God, not everything that we say comes to pass. But sometimes we say things and we actually don't really mean them. I think all of us have at some point said something and you almost wish you could take that back because you didn't really mean it, but it still came out. But this actually says that if you say it and you believe it, that's the difference. So sometimes we have to be careful what we are saying. Is this something that I believe? Should I change my beliefs and not say certain things? We will find in Proverbs, the next several scriptures I have in Proverbs, that are telling us how important our mouth is. This isn't something that we want to take lightly, but the Bible says in Proverbs 10:11 that the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. All of us in here tonight are righteous, and our mouths can be a well of life, not just for other people, but to ourselves. What we're saying about ourselves, how we're speaking about our, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we start telling ourselves, no, I'm strong. How are you feeling today? You know, you might not be feeling quite a tip top, but you know what the word says and the Bible says, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so I'm believing I'm strong. Now, that doesn't mean that when you go to a doctor and they're asking you, does this hurt? If it hurts, then you say, yes. You don't say, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And yet, there have been people that have done things like that. And that is a little bit overzealous in certain things. You know, if somebody is talking to you, it's not that you have to go around and be in this bubble world and you can't say anything. But the difference is that, yes, this hurts, especially if you're talking to your spouse or to family or to friends, and it's in an okay way for you to be able to do it. They're saying, does that hurt? And you can say, like, your side hurt. Yes, it hurts, but the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and I'm believing that this is going to be whole and healthy completely. And that's how we want our words to be. You could break your leg. Oh, everyone sees the cast. You know, how's your leg doing? Well, I did break it, but it's healing quickly. The power of God, it's healing quickly. Those are things that we can do when we're sharing. But it doesn't matter if I say it's healing quickly if I don't really believe it. Because that's the difference when we say it. If you believe it in your heart, then that's what is making the difference. When I say it, I'm saying my leg is whole and healthy and it's healing quickly, and I am completely convinced, because that's what the Bible says, that is mine. And I'm convinced that that's what God has for me, and so I'm going to keep standing on that and believing it. I've even known of people that broke their leg or broke their ankle. I know of two different instances that they broke their one broke the leg, one broke the ankle. Never had a cast put on. They knew it was broken because it was obvious that it was broken, and they had at that point conditioned themselves to what God's plan was and God's will was on what healing was. And they just spoke to it and said, you have to be whole and healthy right now. One of them was on a ministry trip and did not have time to go to the doctor and just said, no. I think they were getting up to speak or something like that. And they just said, no, you have to be whole and healthy. And just stood in faith that God's grace was there and that his healing power was there. And they just walked around and the ankle was fine. The other person never needed the cast on the leg because they just said, no, this is going to heal up properly. And now in the name of Jesus, I just expect you to be whole and healthy. And it did. We are all in different places and coming and learning about the faith and what healing is. And so because of that, I've even known of people who were very strong at one point in their life and stood against something, and then later on something else came kind of behind the scenes and they were sick for a little while and then overcame it just because they were worn down a little bit in that area. And then there was an opportunity and the devil came in and saw that opportunity, took advantage, and then they realized, I've got to shore this up. No. The Bible says I'm whole and healthy, and I'm gonna resist this now, and you have to flee. Sickness, you are not allowed in my body. And that's the right that we have as Christians, is to say what is allowed and what isn't allowed. And the Bible says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. So anything that is found in the curse of the law, and it says a lot of things in Deuteronomy 28, there's a lot of curses. And you can go through and say, oh, this was the curse of the law, boils. Oh, I don't have to have boils. The Bible says I'm redeemed from that. And you just stand and you just say, no, I'm not gonna accept these boils. Boils you have to leave in the name of Jesus. And you just keep standing. Okay, so you stand tonight and tomorrow the boil is still there. What do you do with your mouth? At that point, do you still say, the boil, no, you're gone. I've told you to go now. You're drying up from the root and you're getting out of my body. Or do you start saying, well, I tried it. I said that it has to leave and it's still there. I don't understand. Why is this not leaving? This is so frustrating. I've done what I know to do. Why isn't this happening? And it's really easy at that point for you to allow it to come back in your body. It could be, it would be like when Jesus cursed the fig tree and told the fig tree it had to die. Okay, right then and there, nobody saw it die. But when they came back the other way, it was withered up. Well, there are many times things in our life that we speak to it and the roots right away have started to wither up. And then because we walk by it and still see it there, even though stuff is happening that we can't see, what we do see still shows that the tree is alive. We go back and say, okay, it's not working. And when that happens, we're allowing those roots go back into the ground and just giving place for the devil to come back in. And we are giving him authority, basically, by saying that. And we have to be very careful when we do that. Proverbs 12, 13, and 14. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. And transgression is the violation of a law, command, or duty. So he is ensnared by doing the wrong things with his mouth. But the righteous will come through in trouble. And verse 14 says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. What we say about ourselves, if we say, oh, I'm just so silly, I always do this, or I'm so stupid, I can't believe I did that again, can you believe it? We are putting curses on ourselves and just saying bad, horrible things about ourselves. But if we start saying, no, God, you have given me the mind of Christ. My mind is whole and healthy and strong. I remember all things. We just start speaking good things out of our mouth. It says that when we do that, we will be satisfied with good. We will reap the consequences of what we're saying about ourselves. And sometimes when you first start saying it, you don't believe it. I mean, that's just, you're not convinced. Sometimes, you know, you say it for a while. And then it starts, all right, I really start getting this. I'm really starting to believe it. It's becoming a part of me. It's becoming a way I think. It's becoming a way that I see. This doesn't just even deal with our bodies, although it very much so, but even relationships with one another. How many times is it easy to just say, you know, I just don't get along with so-and-so. I don't know what it is about, you know, we just don't get along. Or do we start saying, I have really good relationship with so-and-so, and God just gives me wisdom on how to relate with that person, and, you know, he's just giving me wisdom in that relationship, and he's teaching me how not to be offended. He's teaching me how to believe the best about that person. Our words, all of a sudden, if we start hooking up our words, not just with something out of the blue that we're doing it, but we're basing it on what the Bible says. And then we have the confidence that what we're saying will come to pass. Proverbs 13, 2 and 3 says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. I'm going to go ahead and jump down to verse 3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. How many times do we just want to go take that back? You know, whether it's over our bodies, over relationships, over, you know, situations at school, situations at work, whatever we're doing, if we're speaking words of destruction over certain things, we are just opening up the door and saying, okay, devil, come on in. You know, we don't mean to, especially as believers. That's not our heart. We don't want to just say, okay, devil, you can have your way in this area in our life. We're not purposefully doing that, but the Bible says that we have to be very, very careful with our mouth. And Proverbs 15:23 says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. We want to be very careful what comes out of our mouths, what we want to stop and think. Okay, now, some people are naturals at stopping and thinking about what they say. They tend to be maybe quieter people anyways, and they don't have quite the issues of people that are maybe a little more outgoing and just say the first thing that comes to their head and it pops out. The good thing about it is, though, that in Mark 11:23, it is something that we believe. When we say it, if we don't really believe it, then, you know, it's not like we're going to reap the results of it instantaneously. But if we still start saying it, and then we repeat it, and then you say it again and again and again, eventually you start believing it. And then that's why you want to be careful what comes out of your mouth, because you will start believing it. What you're hearing, if you're hearing stuff about how, you know, doom and gloom is, you know, the economy, it's just tanking. You know, what are we going to do? It's just tanking. What about, you know, our pensions? What about our jobs, our salaries? We're, you know, are we going to have enough to be able to make ends meet? Are we going to be able to do this? Are we going to be able to do that? If we're not careful, our mouth starts speaking what we have been hearing, what's coming off of the news, what's coming off from maybe what you're hearing your friends saying, what's going on. All of a sudden, all these things start coming into our lives, and we start hearing it over and over and over, and we begin to start speaking it ourselves because it's becoming a part of us, and then we're letting it come out of us. You know, fear about where the country's going. Oh, you know, and we start repeating everything that we're hearing. I just think the, you know, United States just isn't what it used to be. And we start talking all these different things. Now, it doesn't mean that it looks a certain direction and that things are looking a certain way. But what happens is if we start speaking it and start repeating everything, it begins to affect us too and starts bringing destruction in on our lives. And so we want to be very careful. Bible says in Proverbs 21:23, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his souls from troubles. We want to be careful what comes out. It keeps us out of trouble. You know, we don't want to keep repeating what we hear, even on the news. I mean, you know, it may not have a lot of cussing and a lot of different things that are on shows that we wouldn't watch, but it has other things in it that will produce fear in us, that will cause anxiety in us. And I'm not saying that we don't want to know what's going on in the world, but we have to be careful. Again, I have a relative that, you know, can't get enough news. Just the morning news, the 5 o'clock news, the 6 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news, any news that whenever it comes on, they're watching it. You know, 60 minutes, all these different things that are going on, they're there, you know, just taking it in and getting a hold of what's going on out in the world. But what that does is that produces a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety on certain things and unrest, like what's going on. And it also shapes your mind to thinking the way that the people that are bringing the news to you, how they think becomes the way that you start looking. And if that doesn't go according to what the Bible says, then again, you're getting, yes, it's not a show that has a lot of immorality and just different things like that, but it's still taking you away from the way that God sees things. And so we have to be careful and watch ourselves when with just different things that we watch, even if it seems to be not as bad as something else. Where is it taking our mouth? What is it producing in us? What's the result that's happening in us? Bible tells us in Psalm 141:3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. How many of us could pray that every single day, like 15 times a day? Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Even when you're young, you can already begin saying that kind of stuff just because you realize things just slip out sometimes. And God, just give me wisdom. Help me not to do that. The Bible says, watch what comes out of your mouth. Psalms 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. All of these things that we're talking about, it's not that we muster up strength enough to watch over our mouth because, you know, it's not really easy to do that in and of yourself, but we have the Lord who is our strength and our Redeemer, and He, the Holy Spirit, is on the inside of us, and He is gently nudging us, and He will bring back to your remembrance. You may say something and just feel a little check. I shouldn't have said that. And then you know what happens the next time, especially if we're asking for his help, it will get it. Maybe we start saying it and we check ourselves because we realize, okay, no, I shouldn't say that. So halfway through the phrase, we stop. And then the next time, before the phrase even gets out, it's in our head, and the Holy Spirit, we're being more and more sensitive to him, and he starts saying, oh, don't say that. I know you want to say this. Don't say it. And we still have a choice. We can say it or not say it. And the good thing about it is that the Holy Spirit is patient, and he's helping us, and he is willing to work with us. So if we will yield to him, if we will open up to him, you know, we say this on Sundays too, sometimes during praise and worship, you know, if we open up whatever that we are willing to give him in our lives, he is willing to take and help us and make it positive. He can turn different things in our life that we may not feel like we have control over, but if we will turn it over and say, okay, God, please help me. You know, I have loose lips. Please help me to watch over my mouth. Please help me to say the right things. Help me. And he will give you different things. He may go and point you to scriptures and say, you know, and reform your beliefs on certain things, and then that helps your mouth on different things. Or he, whatever it is, if we will open it up to him, he will take it and he will begin to enlighten and give us revelation on how to do things. And it will be so much easier than we think. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy completely, because our flesh still wants to do things the way it's always done it. But if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, he will open things up to us, and he will begin to show us things. And we, in turn, not only are we reaping the benefits, but we're also learning how to be sensitive to him. And he can nudge you this way, and he'll nudge you that way. And you're learning to be sensitive to him on all these different things because you are opening yourself up for him to speak to you. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. Well, there's Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, you can speak life over yourself with your words. Right there, that's a scripture that gives you that promise. I can speak life. If I choose to speak that my body, I'm telling you, you have to have life. You have to be whole. And you don't veer from that. You just keep saying it. Nope, my body's strong and healthy. Ephesians 6, I think that's later on down. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Or we actually did that. We did Ephesians 6:12, but Ephesians 6:10 above the verse 12 says, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. With the armor of God, I will fight the good fight. It reminds me of a children's thing that we've done. It's something that we used to do. But yes, with the armor of God, we do fight the good fight. But we're strong is the point. The Bible says that we're strong in his power and his might. It says in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things. I can control my mouth through Jesus Christ. Thank God. Thank God it's not all up to me to do it completely. But it is up to me to yield myself to him. Because he's not going to take over my mouth if I don't allow him to. But if I say, Lord, please help me. Help me. And, you know, I have to admit we are all growing in this. I don't know if maybe we'll get to the point where we don't have to grow in it anymore, but I know I haven't gotten there yet. I know that I'm still learning. You know, it's really tempting sometimes to complain and to just really, you're feeling the pressure, feeling frustrated about something, and you want to just tell someone about it. And it's really easy to yield to that and give in to that because your flesh does so want to. And the Holy Spirit may be telling you on the inside, don't do it. Don't do it. And we have a choice. We can yield to it. But the more that we continue to yield to God, yield to the Holy Spirit inside of us, the stronger His voice becomes in our life. And the more powerful His voice becomes and the less powerful our flesh becomes. And our mouth is a great, great opportunity to yield to the Holy Spirit and to start learning how to flow with the Holy Spirit in things. This one, you know, sometimes the book of James, you just like not to be in the Bible just because sometimes it's just like, really, that just seems a little hard. But again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even the things in the book of James. James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And then let's go on a little further in James 3:1-5. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Let's jump down. It talks about the horse. If you put a little bit in the horse's mouth, it as big as the horse is, it steers the whole thing. If you a ship as large as it is, and it's controlled by a little rudder, a little small little thing that's causing it to go in the water, right or left. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. But we don't have to be afraid of that. We don't have to let that be like, oh, dear Lord, oh, help my mouth, God, you know, because sometimes when you read those kind of things, it makes you kind of, it can produce this, oh, no, how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to do that, just like you do everything else. You trust God. You ask Him for Him to give you the strength to do it, for Him to set a watch over your mouth. You know, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. David, he's the one that's saying that. He trusted God to help him. Did David do everything perfect? No. But he was still considered righteous and a man after God's own heart because he kept going back to God and kept asking God with sincerity to help him in different things. And the same thing with us. We ask God, God, help us. Help us to watch. And like I said, the more we do it, the more we become more sensitive to Him, to the Holy Spirit, and He's leading and guiding us. It says, 1 Peter 3:10, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. All of us in here can do that. We can do that. We have the Holy Spirit. If it's in the Word of God, then it's not too hard for us. Not because in and of ourselves we can do it, but because we have the Helper. We have the Holy Spirit, and He is going to help us if we will let Him. You know, the devil is going to do everything he possibly can to make you, to get you to turn your rights over to Him. Because what Jesus already did on the cross was to strip Him of all the authority that He has over believers. The only authority that the devil has now over a Christian is whatever we give to Him. And we can give it to Him by our mouth, by saying, okay, come take over in this area. I'm not convinced that I'm completely redeemed in this area, and so I speak this out, and I've just opened myself up and said, okay, devil, in this area you can have that. Now, he knows he can't touch this and this and this because we don't give him any place. But in this area, by our words, we are allowing him to come in and have dominion. And sometimes he's just having the biggest heyday with us. And we're up and down and all over the place, and just our emotions are going crazy, and we're feeling this and that and the other, because in this area, we have allowed him to have place in our lives. And the Bible, it tells us that if we will resist him, that resisting comes from knowing what Jesus has done. When I know that Jesus has healed me of whatever it is that we may be standing against, when I'm convinced that, nope, the Bible says, this is mine. I'm not going to tell you that you can stay here, but I'm going to tell you where you're supposed to be. You have no right. You have no authority. The Bible says that Jesus took it, that by his stripes I'm healed. So therefore, you have no right in my body. And you just keep standing. And you don't put a time limit on it, meaning that if you're not healed by the end of the week, that means that it didn't work. No, you keep standing until the end of the week. And if you still have to stand some more, then you keep standing until it is completely gone. And the Bible says that if we keep resisting him, he has to flee. He cannot stay. The only way he stays is if we take back what we have said. If I take back and say, I don't know why it didn't work, but it looks like it didn't work, that just let him come back and come back in and have right. You just gave him dominion again to come back. But the more you keep saying, no, I said you go, and I mean you go. And it just reminds me of a story where Brother Hagin talked about this little dog that was following, I think it was a lady he was following. And, you know, the lady said, now you need to go home. And the dog, of course, was like, it's a little game, and just kept following. And then it was getting closer to where she was going to get on a bus, and she didn't want the dog to get hurt. So she said, no, really, you need to go home. The dog didn't take her seriously and just kept going. Finally, the bus was coming up, and the lady goes, scat, you go home now. And the dog ran because he knew that he did not have authority. He was going to be in trouble. She just took her authority as the owner of him and told him what to do, and he knew she meant business. And that's how it is with the devil. We tell him, no, I told you once, I've told you twice, get out of here. You don't have the right, you don't have the place, because the Bible says, and that's where we're getting our authority from, not from mustering up the strength within us to do it, but no, the Bible said this, and so therefore, I'm taking my authority. One last scripture, 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That doesn't mean we have to be afraid. Oh, the devil's looking for something in me. He's looking. What's he going to find? He's looking to hurt me. No, that's not what that means. Christ has already defeated the devil. We are not in fear of the devil, no matter what he's out there trying to do. We don't have to be afraid. Instead, the Bible says, resist him. Tell him no. And it says, steadfast. Resist him steadfast in the faith. In what you believe Jesus has done, you stand. And you say, I believe the word of God says this about me. And you resist him and you push back. You push back. Oh, my head really hurts. Nope, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Oh, gosh, I feel like I have the flu. Nope, by Jesus' stripes, I do not have the flu. I resist that temptation to be sick. No, I'm pushing back. I'm resisting. And the more that I will do that, and your body is, especially if it's used to yielding to that, it's going to scream at you, no, I really am sick. I'm not joking. This is the truth. I feel horrible. And you're saying, I know you feel horrible, but the word says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And so, no, I'm not going to accept this in my body. You have no place in my body. Now leave. In the name of Jesus, you have no place. Get out of here. That's what we do. That's how we stand. That's how we resist when different things come our way. When the devil does his best to bring fear, it's not working. Well, you tried. You did what they told you to do. And then, no, I'm not going to side in with you right now. I'm resisting you. And we just keep standing. Bible says, having done all, what are we supposed to do? Stand. Having done everything that you know to do, what do? Sit down and say, okay, you're right. No, you stand and you say, no, this is what I said, this is what I believe, and that settles it. This is the way it's going to be in my body. I have authority over my body. You don't. And I'm not going to give you any authority over my body. That's the way it is. You are not welcome. Get out. So let's just pray for a minute.